जय राधो माधवो कुंजा बिहारी जय राधो माधवो कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जना वाल्लभा गिरीवर धारी गोपी जना वाल्लभा गिरीवर धारी यशोद नंदना ब्रज जान रंजना यशोद नंदना ब्रज जान रंजना यमुना तेरा बन चाहरी यमुना तेरा बन चाहरी नयो राधो माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपीदना बाल्लभा गिरीवर धारी यशोद नंदना ब्रज जान रंजना यमुना तेरा बन चारी जयो राधो माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधो माधव कुंजा बिहारी Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jayo, Jayo Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraj Kachara Sarasata Sri Siman Hiranyaka Swami Ji Bhai Grace Sai Sri Bhaktanta Samra Srila Prabhupada Ki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 5th chapter, text number 38. Chapter is entitled Narad Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Evam Tvam Niranu Krosho Balanam Matibid Dhare Parshada Madye Charasi Yashoha Nirapatrapaha Evam Tvam Niranukrosho Evam Tvam Niranukrosho Balana Matibidhare Balana Matibidhare Parshada Madhya Charasi Parshada Madhya Charasi Yashoha Excuse me Yashoha Nirapatrapaha Yashoha Nirapatrapaha Evam Tvam Niranukrosho Balana Matibidhare Parshada Madhya Charasi Yashoha Nirapatrapaha. Show. Ladies. Evam tum niranukrosho. Evam, thus, tvam, you, Narada, niranukroshaha, without compassion, balanam, of innocent, inexperienced boys, matibit, contaminating the consciousness, hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parshada Madhye, among the personal associates. Charasi, travel. Yashaha, defaming the person, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nirapatrapaha, although you do not know what you're doing, you're executing sinful activities without shame. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Prajapati Daksha continued, thus committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly created a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you're shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord? Purport. This mentality of Prajapati Daksha still continues even today. When young boys join the Krishna consciousness movement, their fathers and so-called guardians are very angry at the propounder of the Krishna consciousness movement because they think that their sons have been unnecessarily induced to deprive themselves of the material enjoyments of eating, drinking, and merrymaking. Karmis, fruit of workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world and also perform some pious activities to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. He is not interested in traveling to the higher planetary systems of the demigods to enjoy a long life in advanced materialistic civilization. As stated by Prabodhananda Saraswati, Kavalyang Narakayate Tridasa Purakasa Puspayate, for a devotee merging into Brahman existence is hellish, and life in the higher planetary systems of the demigods is a will-o'-the-wisp, a phantasmagoria, with no real existence at all. A pure devotee is not interested in yogic perfections, travel to higher planetary systems, or oneness with Brahman. He is interested only in rendering service to the personality of Godhead. Since Prajapati Daksha was a karmi, he could not appreciate the great service Narad Muni had rendered his 11,000 sons. Instead, he accused Narad Muni of being sinful and charged that because Narad Muni was associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord would also be defamed. Thus, Daksha criticized that Narad Muni was an offender to the Lord, although he was known as an associate of the Lord. Evang tvang niranukrosho balanam matibithare Parshada Madhye Charasi Yashoha Nirapatrapaha. Prajapati Daksha continued, thus committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you're defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly created a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you're shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord? Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप गदा मायं ददाति स्वापदंतिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गिराधार श्रीवासरी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपदमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिनोत्तारणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। We're very fortunate to be here in the association of all the Vaishnavas at the lotus feet of Shri Shri Kishore Kishori, with Jagannath Baladev Subhadradevi, Shri Shri Gauri Nitai, Srila Prabhupada. Here in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narad Muni is being cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Narad Muni is one of our acharyas, and he's one of the Mahajans, Vayambur Narakshambhu Kumara Kapilomanu, Pralada Janaka Bhishmo Balir Vayasakir Vayam. Narad Muni is the direct son of Lord Brahma, born from Lord Brahma's heart, and he is representing bhakti. So, Narad Muni's life and his teaching and his example are very important to us. We have to make the connection. You're all trying to be preachers. We're all trying to make a difference in this world and share Krishna consciousness. So what is the first lesson that we get from here? That we have to understand how this is relevant to us. Unless we make that connection, people will not pay attention. If you don't feel that something is relevant to you, that it is meaningful to you, you will not pay attention because it just doesn't mean anything to you. So, why should we pay attention? Because this is a very interesting incident. Narad Muni went and he delivered the Shavalashvas and Hariashvas, the 11,000 sons of Prajapati Daksha. Can you imagine you make 11,000 devotees in one go or in two goes like that? That's pretty amazing, huh? That's the potency of this process of bhakti. Prajapati Daksha, he is very expert. Expert in material affairs, he is the Prajapati, the progenitor. And as such, he's fully empowered to create progeny. He created in one go 10,000 sons and another 1,000 sons. If you happen to have one son, people consider you lucky. If you have two, people go, wow. If you have three, wow, my God. He had 11,000 sons. So he was very expert. And thus, he was very proud. Because with expertise, a certain sense of pride comes. If you're the best of the mridanga players, the best of the dancers, the best of the dressers, the best of the cooks, there is a certain pride that naturally builds up. Why? Because the conditioned soul, the living entity, is proud of whatever he or she calls their own. Of course, we know that these are all borrowed plumes because Krishna is the ability in men and women. These are not our talents. They're simply borrowed from the Lord. Just like you can see, Krishna, he's the most expert. He's the most expert dresser, the most expert dancer, the most expert in everything. That is Krishna. And because devotees are representing Krishna, so they're also reflecting some of that expertise to the degree that we are pure and to the amount of in which Krishna has invested a certain amount of expertise and talent in us. So Daksha, his talent was he could create progeny practically unlimitedly. That was his expertise. And thus, he was very proud because with expertise comes a certain sense of achievement, a certain sense of grandeur. And he had every right to be proud from a material perspective. But that pride bereft him, it deprived him of the ability to discern. His sense of judgment was clouded, and thus he's speaking foolish words. And he's accusing Narada Muni of very terrible acts. What is he accusing him of? He's telling him that you have committed violence against other living entities. Now we know that a person who is Atmaha, a killer of animals or the killer of the soul, is not just a person who is committing physical violence, but not to preach Krishna consciousness, is explained by Srila Prabhupada, to be actually committing violence against other living entities. Just like if you happen to walk or drive on the street and there is an accident. In most civilized countries of the world, if you do not stop to help, you're a criminal and you can be punished by the law of the country. Did you know that? If you drive on the road and there is an accident and you have the ability to stop and help, but you do not do so, you can be held accountable for denying these people help. In the same way as devotees, we have received this highest knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And if we are simply callous, oblivious to the suffering of other living entities, then we will be held accountable because of our negligence. Now it is interesting how Prajapati Daksha is using the exact same words here. Committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu. Thus you're defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One might say, he's got it all wrong. This is all upside down. Why is he chastising and blaspheming and even cursing Narad Muni with such harsh words? Any idea why? Because his value structure, his sense of identity was all wrong. His priorities were all upside down. And that's why he's using these type of harsh words to address Narad Muni. He's saying here that these boys are young boys, and thus they should not be exposed to this type of talk. You have messed with the minds of the innocent. Sometimes people ask us, what are you doing here with these books? We tell them, we're messing with the minds of the not so innocent people. Because innocence is gone. In Kali Yuga, the age of innocence is gone. By the time a person is a teenager, they have already experimented with pretty much everything that you can experiment with in this world. So, the age of innocence is gone. People are not innocent anymore. But Prajapati Daksha, he had his values wrong. He was thinking that to live in this world and to enjoy religiously is the highest goal of the human form of life. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Have you heard of this? Dharma, religiosity. Why do you have to be religious? Because if you want good result, you have to follow the process. Dharma means you perform yajna. You do sacrifice. And this was known in all traditional cultures of the world, not just the Vedic culture. You perform sacrifice. And through the performance of sacrifice, what happens? Artha. You get good results. You get prosperity. You become wealthy. You have wonderful returns, by which you can enjoy your senses, kama. You become very luxurious. You can have grand life. And what comes after that? Moksha, liberation. Let's go to heaven. Let's go to a higher state of consciousness. For what? So we can enjoy again in a higher state. But devotees are not subscribing to this type of philosophy. Why not? Abhrama bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna mamupete tu kantya punarjanmana vidyate. From the highest to the lowest planet, they're all places of suffering where repeated birth and death takes place. Now, whatever location we are calling home, it is still a place of birth and death. So, Prajapati Daksha got it wrong, and because his value structure, his sense of identity was confused, he got himself into quite a bit of trouble, repeatedly, not just in this incident, but in several incidences. Now, you could say Narad Muni could be just very content with himself. He just made 11,000 bhaktas. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, if you go to your temple president, you say, you know, I just made 11,000 bhaktas, you know. Where are you going to put them? Huh? I think you're going to need a few more buildings here, you know. So you could be very content with yourself. But Narad Muni was not complacent. He was not sitting back and enjoying his glories. He was thinking, I missed one. What is that one that I missed? Daksha. I miss Daksha. And because Daksha is an important personality, he's not to be neglected. So what did he do? He went and he approached Daksha directly, personally, even at the risk of being cursed, at the risk of being defamed, of the risk being insulted. Naivodvijay paraduratya vaitaranyas tadvire gayana mahamrita magna chitta shochetito vimukachetrasa indriyartam maya sukhayam baram udvahato vimudhan. Prahlad Maharaj was given benediction by Lord Narasingadev, and he said, my dear Lord, I don't have any need. I am fine. Everything is going okay. I'm fine. But I have one problem. What is that problem? When I see the suffering of the fools and rascals, then my heart pains in distress. So who did he ask for benediction? His father. The person who tried to kill him in countless ways. That's the first person he wanted to be liberated. That is greatness. That's why these are our Mahajans. These are our heroes. These are our guides, our mentors. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the story of their lives, their teachings. So we should study Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. This is the spotless, the pure Purana. There are different types of Puranas for living entities in different modes of the material nature. But Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Is the topmost scripture. Paramahamsa Sanghita. So the devotees are very interested, they're very eager to hear. With an attentive mind. Shushushro Sharadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syan Mahatseveo Viprat Punya Tirtani Sevanat. Shraddhanasya. Shraddha means to have faith. Like in the process of bhakti, adao. What is in the beginning? Shraddha. Tha, sadhusanga. Tha, bhajana kriya. First, you got to have a little bit of faith. Some affinity. Okay, this looks nice. These people look okay. Let me spend some time with them. This is good. We have to invest a little bit of faith. Otherwise, it won't happen. Then you associate with devotees favorably. What do the devotees tell you? Prabhu, can you please do some service? We need somebody to clean this floor here. Okay, can you do that? So we shouldn't think, oh, the devotees are a nuisance. They're asking me to do so many things. No. By sadhu sangha comes bhajana kriya. They engage us in devotional service. And so we make further progress in our devotional practice. Now, we know that they are, for a Madhyam Bhakta, for a intermediate devotee, should be associating with other devotees, relishing topics of Krishna consciousness, showing mercy and compassion to the innocent and avoiding the demons, the demoniac. Now here it seems Daksha is, he's acting and talking like a demon, you know? Very heavy kind of talk. Why didn't Narad Muni just ignore him? Why? Because first of all, Daksha, as we mentioned earlier, is not demoniac. He's just confused. By the loss of his sons, his judgment has become clouded. And he just got confused. Because when you lose something that you value a lot, there's a lot of grief. And when you're in grief, when you're in a depressed state, there's nothing you cannot do and there's nothing you cannot say. Have you ever had that experience? That you were very distressed and that you did something stupid or you said something stupid? You know, like little kids, you know? They scream and yell and they slam the door and they may even run up to the mother and kick her and try to beat her. So, confused state. But Daksha is not a demon. Daksha is actually a devotee, but just a materialistic devotee. Now demons, they should be avoided. Of course we know that Mahabhagavats, devotees of the topmost spiritual order, they can make anybody a devotee. Their devotion is so powerful that they can even melt stones. Stone-like hearts. We were in Rishikesh a few months ago and there was the International Yoga Festival at which our spiritual master gave a talk and some kirtans. And after that, we had a program at Shivananda Ashram. Now, you have to know that Rishikesh is the self-proclaimed world capital of yoga. It is like the Vatican, the Rome of the Catholics. So, Shivananda Ashram is probably the most prestigious society in Rishikesh. They have the most followers, the most branches, the most success. And in their Samadhi Mandir, in the sacred most place of the Samadhi of Shivananda, there was a program. So Srila Radhana Maharaj was asked to speak, and the program was supposed to start at 7 o'clock. And of course, it started at 8 o'clock, as usual. And we thought, okay, now, there was about 120 guests, 20 sannyasis and the acharya of the month. But the program didn't start by Maharaj speaking, no. The program started with Sanskrit recitation. They were chanting mantras, and they were chanting, and they were chanting, and they were chanting, and they were chanting. They were chanting from memorization. The entire 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. What is the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Universal form. A lot of long Sanskrit verses. One after the other, just like the waves of the ocean from memory. And then the entire 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, devotional service. For 45 minutes, they were chanting Sanskrit from memory. I was going, wow, I wish I had a brain like that. I've probably forgotten more verses in the last 30 years than I learned before I came to Krishna consciousness. Anyhow, it was past 8:40, and I thought, okay, now, they stopped, so Maharaj is going to speak. No. First, the Acharya has to speak, the oldest man in the room. In his 80 plus years, and he started speaking. And you think he speaks philosophy, because this is a very orthodox, a very traditional place. But he was saying that in 1969, I went to San Francisco when I was a young man, and in Golden Gate Park, I saw Ratha Yatra Festival. And Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, he got all the hippies and drug addicts to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he went into ecstasy, you know. He completely lost it. He was just, you know, his lights went on like a chandelier. And he spoke about Prabhupada. And then he said in the mid-90s, he went to West Virginia, New Vrindavan, and saw Prabhupada's palace of gold. And met Srila Radhana Maharaj, who was showing him the project. And he spoke very appreciatively. And then he asked Maharaj to speak on Trinadapi Sunichena, the third verse of the Shikshastaka, which Maharaj did. And it was already 9 o'clock. So Maharaj spoke very briefly, but he narrated the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. And how Sridhar simply wanted, as his only blessing, as the only boon that he asked from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to be present wherever Mahaprabhu appeared in order to supply him with bananas, leaves, and flowers. Now, I was watching the crowd because that's what Sankirtan devotees do. We observe. We watch. And I was looking, and they were all staunch sannyasis sitting for more than an hour without moving out of their posture, looking very serene and very calm. And as Maharaj was speaking about Kolavecha Sridhar and his devotion and his dedication and his simplicity and humility, I was looking and I saw some of them were smiling, some of them were chuckling, some of them were laughing, and some of them were on the floor in a puddle, melted. And I realized that every metal has got a melting point. In the same way, every person has got a melting point. Now you may be a staunch Mayavadi sannyasi, a staunch impersonalist. If you become exposed to very high dosage of Krishna bhakti, you will melt. So if you want to test your own spiritual advancement, you just go and chant Hare Krishna and preach and distribute books. And you see, how many people's hearts can I touch? How many people can I melt by affecting them with Krishna consciousness? That is Narada Muni's sampradaya. This is our line. This is our tradition. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that our advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the practitioner. Or as we say in English, attitude is everything. What does attitude mean? Oh, he's got attitude. Oh, I don't like your attitude. What does attitude mean? Attitude has a lot to do with intent and identity. So who am I and what is my intent? These are very important questions. If we get confused about our identity and about our intent, we will end up in trouble, just like Prajapati Daksha did. Now his name was Daksha. Daksha means expert. This is a message to all of us smartphone users, smart water drinkers, smart dressers, and smart talkers. If you actually want to be expert, you have to introspect and get your identity and your intent clear before you start acting. So Narada Muni melted the heart of Prajapati Daksha. This will come later on. But first he's allowing him. He's taking all the grief. He's saying, okay, come on. Come on, give it to me. It's okay. Let it go. It's all right. Just give it all you got. Don't hold back. Daksha had quite a bit of poison. He had quite a bit of grief stored up in his heart. Sometimes, now this is a very important lesson for us because we're all in the field of counseling, preaching, you know, sharing and caring. Sometimes you meet somebody and immediately, boom, we give him the solution, right? And if I want your opinion, I will give it to you. We're not ready to listen and to hear what people got to say. Why? Because we are impatient. Now a patient has to be patient. We are all patients. These temples are hospitals. We're practicing Krishna consciousness to get free from this disease of material affliction by the process of hearing and chanting. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas chadridhavrata namashyantas chamam bhakta nitya yukta upasati. So today's Ekadasi is a wonderful day to hear and chant about Krishna in his different pastimes, in his different forms. Especially to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Nama Pankachanabhaya, Nama Pankachamaline, Nama Pankachanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. Krishna has a lotus-like face. The lotus is the most beautiful of all flowers. It is very delicate, very exquisite. You know what the name Pankacha means? It means which is grown from mud. The lotus grows from mud, from muck, from the obscure. But it is very much of a different nature than the mud or the water. That's why it will never stick with mud or water. Krishna's face is lotus-like. He's got lotus feet. His abdomen is shaped like a lotus. And he's always adorned with lotus flower garland. So Krishna is the most beautiful. He's the most attractive. By hearing and chanting about Krishna, our attraction, rati, our affection, sneha, it will be reposed in the supreme object of beauty. And thus, we will become freed from the mundane attractions of the material world. Now, somebody may accuse the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, like Daksha accused Narad Muni, to artificially create or needlessly create this mentality of renunciation. How will you answer? How will you counter this argument? It is done here by Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully in the purport, where he's explaining that a bhakti yogi or a person who is serious about spiritual enlightenment is callous to the opinions of the material world. That is a very interesting sentence here. Callous to the opinions of the material world. What does that mean, to be callous to the opinions of the material world? Different people may interpret this in different ways. Does it mean that we do not have to follow the laws of the state? Does it mean that we can do and say and behave in any way that we please? No. What it means is that we are not subscribing to the opinions and to the value structure that are common in this world. A devotee is not interested to travel, whether it be in this planet or in the universe, because he knows that all these places are temporary. And even residing in heavenly abodes is actually quite distracting, to say the least. Can you imagine? Your lifetime is practically eternal. You're there forever. You have unlimited bodily strength and beauty and opulence. Don't think about it for too long, okay? This is a mind experiment. Just hold it in your mind for a little while. That's why this planet Earth is the best place to practice Krishna consciousness. Why? Because it's Martya Loka. It is the place of death. We can see, not just the roadkill, but we see so many people are dying continuously. And we see, we're faced with our own shortcomings, our own human frailties. For the demigods, you know, that's just not an issue. Because their lifespan is practically unlimited. So we're very fortunate that we are allowed to take a human birth in this world. Now we might say, we're very unfortunate Because we just miss Prabhupada, for the most part of us. We just missed Mahaprabhu. We just missed Lord Krishna. But actually, if you analyze it, how many people knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he was living here? Very few. How many people knew that Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Very few. How many people met Srila Prabhupada and surrendered? A few. But nowadays, the Krishna conscious movement has become established by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his sincere followers all over the world. And it has become quite accessible. It has become quite easy to take up the process of bhakti. I was distributing books in Aarhus, Denmark, and I met a elderly lady on a bicycle, and I stopped her, and when I showed her the books, she almost fell off the bicycle. And she became very emotional. And she said, "You won't believe what I tell you. I am from Hollywood, California. And when I was a young girl, my best friend asked me we should go to Los Angeles to see the Swami. And we went. And we were young teenage girls and we went there. And when the Swami stepped out of his car, we threw rose petals. And he walked over the petals. And my friend told me we should keep these petals. So we collected them again after he'd walked over them. And she said, and I still have them today. And she was glowing. And then she bought a book and she gave me a donation. Then she said, I want to give you something. Can you take this bread? Can you take this vegetable, this fruit? She wanted to give me everything she had. Can you imagine? Because of the spiritual potency of Srila Prabhupada, 45 years later, she's still affected by this experience. This is spiritual potency. So we are here by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Each and every one of us is simply here, not because of our own doing, but because some follower of Prabhupada, some devotee, has dropped nectar on our head. So all we're asking all of you to do is please also become a fountain of nectar and shower drops of mercy on other people's heads. I was just in India, in Solapur, which is in Maharashtra, very close to Pandharpur, the home of Lord Vitala and his great devotee, Tukaram. It's a very hot place there. Already in March, it was 40 degrees. Just speaking about it makes me, you know, dry. It's a desert-like area. Did you know that more than half of India's pomegranates come from Solapur, from the desert? Most of India's table grapes come from that area. It's a desert. It's parched. How did they turn the desert into one of the most prosperous and most fruit-yielding places in the country? Anybody knows the answer? Irrigation, yes. They put the drip system, the irrigation line. In the same way, our hearts may be parched. When we look into our hearts, they may be aching. There may be pain. It's parched like a desert. But if we install an irrigation line, a drip system, where every day, Shravanadi Jal, some hearing and chanting, some nectar about Krishna is being sprinkled like the sprinklers, sprinkled on our parched hearts, it can be turned into an oasis where beautiful plants and creepers are growing, which can be offered to Krishna. So, as a matter of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, let us in turn try to repay him by showing mercy and kindness to others. Otherwise, simply being a good guy or being a good girl, it's not good enough. That doesn't cut it. Because if we have the ability to help, but we don't help, that's called violence. And we don't want to be known as violent aggressors. So let us follow in the footsteps of Narada Muni and take this opportunity. Each and every one of us, we know 5, 50, 500 people, and you become a fountain of nectar. Instead of sprinkling them with whatever nonsense it is that we sprinkle them, let us sprinkle them with Krishna Katha, with mercy, with nectar about Krishna. Now how to do that? That will be the topic of our seminar. How to make Krishna consciousness attractive, how to make it relevant, how to make that bridge, that connection, so people feel, this is for me. That is what we'll talk about in our workshop. We'll be here for almost 2 weeks. Very happy that you have accepted us as your servant. So we will be conducting workshops about outreach, also about how to share Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions to this topic? Yes, Prabhu.
Hi, Hare Krishna. You are making the point that before there is action, there should be introspection about intent and identity.
Yes.
And on the other hand, there was a very strong message about preaching. Now, these two points are not dichotomous, but they are distinct. And I was thinking of Narada Muni and his previous life as an example of the first point, and Narada Muni in his next life as an example of the second point. So in one sense, it almost seems like one leads to another. So my question is this, although the messages, they're not dichotomous, but they are distinct, and how much, if we're following the footsteps of Narada Muni, is the first point important in order to properly be situated in the second point? Because we don't see Narada Muni preaching so much in his previous life.
Sure.
He was kind of getting his act together.
Sure.
And then in his next life, he becomes a very powerful preacher.
Thank you. Very valid observations. Well, in his first life, in the previous life, he was a little boy. And you know how it is, little kids, people don't take him that seriously. They say, okay, it's all right, you know. You're a nice boy. Just go on doing your thing, but, you know, eat soup, go to school, and do your thing. Later on, we'll talk. So, he also was born in a situation where he was not manifesting his exalted position because he took birth in a simple, downtrodden family. He was without education, he was without help or high realization. But simply by following the process, he achieved a high state of consciousness. But in his next birth, or in his next appearance as Narada Muni, then he manifested his full potential, you can say, as a preacher in Krishna consciousness. So in the same way, in our own situation, when you come to the Krishna consciousness movement, we're not asking brand new people to go out and to immediately distribute books and preach Krishna consciousness. But we allow them to first get their bearings, you know, get some ground under your feet and develop your introspection and your sense of identity. And that can take anywhere from a few days till a few years, it depends. But part of that identity is also the preaching. Just like we will do a little experiment here. And I know many of you are tired and it's Ekadasi, but we'll still do this little experiment. Who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Can you please have a show of hands? Who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Okay, we got 4.5 here. 5, okay. Houston, we have a problem, okay? Identity. Who am I? What are you, you know? Are you a pujari? Are you a cook? Are you a manager? I'm a brahmachari or a single lady or a retired person or I'm the funny guy or whatever. What is my sense of identity? If you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're part of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means, by definition, you are a Sankirtan devotee. Who here is chanting? Anybody here chanting Hare Krishna? Okay. I know this is like rhetorical questions, but you know, it's a mind experiment. Forgive me for, you know. Usually we do this in our workshops, but since you've asked for it, we'll do it now. Okay. Well, why is it that we have this misconception? When we think of ourselves, what is my primary sense of identity? Obviously, it's not being a Sankirtan devotee, so it must be something else, right? What is that something else? Identity defines our purpose. It defines our intent, our modus operandi. So we got to trace things back to the beginning. That's why Prabhupada spoke about Dehinosminyatadehe, spirit soul. Jivera Swarupahoi, Krishnera Nityadas. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna. He spoke about the fundamentals, the basics, about the beginning. Because if we deviate just a quarter of an inch, if we just get it wrong at the beginning of the equation, just a little bit, you know, like we confuse plus with minus. Has it ever happened? You did some algebra and you went a little off somewhere in the beginning? And, you know, you ended up way out in the pasture because there was a little mistake in the beginning of the equation. And that's usually what happens to us. We got off the track. But as you mentioned correctly, these two are not mutually exclusive. They're not contradictory. They're complementary. Identity and purpose and introspection are part of the Sankirtan process. They're part of our outreach. They're part of sharing Krishna consciousness with others. It's a natural thing. It's not that, okay, now we're going to put on the hat and the shirt and the boots and now we go out and, you know. One person said, you always preach and sometimes you should also talk. Means by your behavior, pranayar, artayar, diya, vacha. It's not just that when we open our mouth that now I'm a preacher. Prabhupada was always preaching by his example, by his precept. So, our minds are usually small because we're small. And being small, naturally, our mindset is also small. So we tend to see conflict. We tend to see duality, where there is no duality. But that is the nature of our mind to keep us entrapped in this mature world. So how to get out of this duality mode? By coming to the higher level of Krishna consciousness, where we see that these things are not conflicting or contradictory, but they're actually just different facets. They're just different facets of the same personality. When I joined Krishna consciousness, I was 15 years old. And a 15-year-old usually is not very confident and not very outgoing and not very expert in convincing others. But because I associated with devotees who very naturally practiced and shared Krishna consciousness, it became second nature. It took some time. Now, some people might say, you've got it all wrong. You started with the outreach, and now, 30 years later, you do more of the introspection. That's all right, you know. Okay, I accept that. There is a point in that. Sometimes we start with the end in mind and then we work our ways back to the beginning. But either way, you know, in spiritual life, this is not a stereotype formula. You don't have to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It is war. It is a very dangerous time. People are being deprived of the opportunity of the human form of life. They're degrading themselves as we speak, going down into the lower species. So what happens in wartime? People get guns and badges, and they get empowered to serve in the army. Huh? So, of course, if you want to have a more sustainable experience, if you want to have a more continuing and efficient outreach, you have to get trained. Formerly it was okay. Here are the books and here are the people. Okay. Swim or sink. Some swam, few sunk. Huh? But nowadays we have quite elaborate training programs. There's a lot of support mechanisms. But still, why do we not feel this urge in our heart to share Krishna consciousness? Oh, I got my guru, I got my mantra. Hey, I'm fine, you know. I'm all set. Did you ever hear this? Did people ever tell you, I'm all set, don't bother me? Did we ever have that attitude ourselves as devotees? I'm all set. Hey, I got news for you. If the world goes to hell, you will notice because we're in it. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, every day talk to 5 new people. Don't become too cozy. This is a big, wonderful temple. And almost everybody's got a room to themselves. Of course, a few of you are sharing because you're in training program. But we should not get too comfortable. Huh? Read Lilamrita. See how Prabhupada started out. Huh? Talk to 5 new people every day. Can you do that? Is it possible to talk to 5 new people? I'm not saying preaching to the converted, you know. I'm not saying just waving the flags and, you know, doing the Hari Bowls. Talk to 5 new people. Now, how do I talk to 5 new people every day? What is the cause? What's the reason? Very simple. You take 5 little books of Prabhupada, you put them in your pocket, and whenever you go out of the temple and you start walking around, you just talk to 5 people. Hi, how are you doing? How's it going? And you give them a book. How about that? Can we do that? It's not like, you know, inventing a spaceship that goes to Mars, right? It has been done before. But if we in our heart think, why should I do that? Why should I be bothered? You know, I'm okay. If they don't get it, that's their problem. Then we're in the same mentality as Daksha. We're in the same mentality as Daksha. We're losing our mercy. We're losing Kripa. We're losing this caring, this magnanimous attitude. Yes. Pardon me? Yes. If we don't get it, that's our problem. Yes. But you see, nobody is an island. We're all interconnected. We're in a group, Sankirtan, Samyak Kirtan. It means congregational chanting. This is a team effort. We're not playing golf here. This is not Formula One. Whether it be cricket, soccer, or football, it's a team effort, Sankirtan. Now, how strong is your team? Your team is as strong as your weakest link. That's the strength of your team. That's why everybody counts. That's why we can't say, oh, forget about her, forget about him, forget about that one. It's his problem, you know? If he's sleeping through class, if he's sleeping through Mangal Arati, this, that. None of my concern. Not my business, okay? I'm fine. Well, my dear sir, you're not fine. Because your team is not fine. So let us think team. Because that's Mahaprabhu's mood. Everybody had different duties. Some were doctors. Some were businessmen. Some were beggars. Some were brahmacharis. Some were housewives. But they were a team. And together they practiced Sankirtan. Every day. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone was doing their activities, but everybody was looking down the street. When will Chaitanya Nityananda come dancing down this street so I can join the Sankirtan? That was their aspiration. That was their identity. One more question? We'll have more time for questions and answers and practical topics. Something related to the class. Yes, Prabhu.
We find people are very callous. I mean, like, it seems like in Europe things are progressing, but in America they have too much money, too much sense gratification. But in more impoverished countries like Russia and stuff, it seems like they're, you know, they're warming up more.
To Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Europe, if you're talking of Western Europe, is for the most part more affluent than what we have here in the United States. I mean, people don't live in trailer homes. I'm sorry to say, but I started my journey off in Orlando and went through Florida and the South and came up, and you won't find people living in trailer parks in Europe. It's not even legal to live in a summer house, just as a point of information.
Get on a manor when they...
No, I get your point.
Disbanded everybody.
Just...
Disbanded the groups of devotees that were living in trailers around the complex.
Yeah, England has taken a beating. So, but the point you made is that to be callous, I wouldn't... In every country you have affluent and you have poverty, and it manifests in a different way, but everything is relative to the scale, you know. Even in the heavenly planets, some people are more opulent than others. I mean, Indra is the king, you know, so he's got the bucks. And there are others, they're just singers or dancers, you know. They just get the clothes and whatever is left over, you know, after the yagyas. So there's always haves and have-nots. Huh? But to your point about being callous, it is true that when you have experienced poverty, that usually people are a little bit more eager for spiritual life, because they know the predicament or the despair of material existence. It's like sometimes you may distribute books in Hawaii, you know, in Waikiki, and you speak about the sufferings of material nature. Or you may be in Paris, in Champs-Élysées, or in Zurich, on Bahnhofstrasse, and you speak to well-dressed, you know, beautiful-bodied people, couples, and you talk about the sufferings of the material existence, and they look at you like, what are you talking about, you know? I mean, what's your problem, you know? Do you need some money? Or, you know what I mean? But then, here, just like Chicago, Krishna's been very kind. He's given us a good mix. So we're faced with the problems of material existence. This is actually very beneficial. So as devotees, we should also be very careful that we do not become callous or complacent. When Krishna gives us a little facility, he gives us a little success, or, you know, when you're young, you have a somewhat strong and slightly attractive body, and you think, yeah, I can manage, you know, I'm okay. That's the mentality of daksha. No need for surrender. We can do that when we're old, you know. What guarantee is there you will get old? We've invented so many wonderful ways of how to die young. So there is no guarantee that we'll get old. Srila Prabhupada had a great sense of urgency. That's always what astounds me when I hear his classes, his lectures. And I imply you, please hear Prabhupada's lectures, hear his talks. What really mesmerizes me is his sense of urgency. He's relentless. He has a drive, you know, a certain type of momentum, a certain type of impact in his intent and in his delivery that's very inspiring to me. And never came the point when he said, okay, now we've opened 100 temples, all right, you know, now we're sitting pretty here. Let's go on cruise mode, become a little, you know, relaxed. No, Prabhupada said, okay, you've got enough centers, now boil the milk. Make the devotees strong, make them staunch. I want everybody to really study this Gita, this Bhagavatam, this Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, I want all my disciples to become spiritual masters and spread this movement. He mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Adi Lila that Yare Deke Tarita Kaha Krishna Upadesha Maragyan Guru Hana Tara Idesh. This is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. To spread Krishna consciousness far and wide is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures. Srila Prabhupada once said, I want to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere at once. Wow. That's a big plan. Everywhere at once. I think that there is some room for us to help Prabhupada in his desire. That gives a certain sense of urgency. Because things are always changing, you know. Some countries have been well some decades back, and now they're not so well. Look at England. England was on the top of its game quite a while ago, and now it isn't. America, similar. It went through different, you know. So, devotees are not becoming complacent. We should have that sense of urgency. And to be simple-hearted, that's something that is very appreciable. You mentioned Russia and the East, where people are a little more simple in a good sense. Simple not as in simpleton, you know, but as in straightforward. Have you ever noticed that you try to use some sarcasm or being a little cynical and, you know, doing what we do in our so-called sophisticated way of using the English language, and you talk to a person who is more simple and they look at you and they go like, are you sick or you're not well or why are you talking with such complicated words, you know, and so much negativity and so convoluted, you know? Did you ever have that experience? Then you realize, okay, you know, maybe I should go back to to be a little more simple and straightforward. And it's actually quite refreshing, you know, if you meet somebody who is just straight up. And that's the feeling I get when I hear Srila Prabhupada talk and lecture, that he was straight up. He was not doing all these things. So, there's a lot of opportunities. But it's a team effort. Let us work together as a team to please Srila Prabhupada. Yasya deve para bhakti rita deve tathagura utasyaite katita hirta prakashante mahatmana. If we please the spiritual preceptors, our teachers, then all the imports of the Vedas, all the purports, all the meanings of these literatures will become revealed in our hearts. Boom. That's pretty far out. That's the shortcut. You know, everybody's looking for a break, right? They're all looking for a shortcut. You want a shortcut? This is your shortcut. Huh? Now, how do we please Guru? How do we please Prabhupada? By trying to do what he asked us to do. Srila Prabhupada said, please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Because there's nothing as attractive as a happy devotee. You remember you saw the first kirtan party? Saw the first devotees blissful in Krishna consciousness? You knew. That's it. These guys, they got it. They got it down. They may look a little weird, but they're blissful. They got it. In L.A., they were doing Harinam Sankirtan in Santa Monica Promenade. And one old lady was watching them for about 15, 20 minutes. Very, you know, skeptical and observing. And then she came and walked over to one of the devotees. And she said,
"Son, are you taking drugs?" And the devotee said, "No." She said, "That's really sad, because I was ready to buy whatever it is that you're selling." When you're blissful in Krishna consciousness, the world will notice. Dhruva Maharaj was a 5-year-old boy. He was standing in Madhuvan, chanting, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." By the power, the potency of his mantra and his austerities, the whole world, the whole universe shook. The demigods were suffocating. They went to Vishnu and said, "He's your boy. He's your problem. You go fix it. He's doing it because of you." So in the same way, if we practice Krishna consciousness authentically, with a simple heart, saralata, people will become affected. They will become attracted. Thank you for your attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanandi.